on the Air. That's the name of the show, and we're here with James Anderson, who reminds me what the name of the show is all the time, since I always forget. I love that name of the show, and I just can't remember it very well. Well, we were talking before we went to the break here. We were talking about grass and all the stuff that all these different organizations are putting on your grass to kill the dandelions. And do people still call them dandelions?
Yeah, okay. They sure do.
I was just wondering, does that cause nature a problem to have all that?
Yes, absolutely it does. Any type of man-made chemical, even if they say it's environmentally
organic,
environmentally friendly, all that jazz. I went to a workshop one time, and I can't, it's horrible of me. I've been to a lot of workshops, but I forget what the actual subject was about, but he stated that if we can't find it in nature, then it's not considered organic.
Okay.
And because he says, I think it was had to do with something like pest management or something. And he said, you know, with all these companies and different people will tell you, you know, all these products are good for the environment. And again, if you can't find it in nature, then no, it's not good for nature.
Okay.
So you know, we're applying all these pesticides and herbicides and all this stuff that we're putting onto our property. I mean, it is causing more harm than good. It looks good to us. But deep down inside, I mean, it's destroying the soil. And then, like we were talking earlier, we can have runoff opportunities that can affect our waterways. Yeah. And then next thing you know, that affects aquatic life. And then affects our other wildlife and plant life. And it just all accumulates up.
Yeah.
And there was actually a scientist. Her name was Rachel Carson. And she started in the 60s. And she started to notice that. How all nature is connected and how our influence can impact that. And she was kind of the pioneer and was great because, you know, in the 60s, that's when, you know, a lot of the women's rights were really coming along. And
sure.
with her coming and stating that, it really has helped us understand, I mean, how we can appreciate and help nature out.
Yeah. Now, my wife and I are very aware of stuff that we put on our yard. I used to put weed and feed on because I didn't want the dandelions.
Yeah.
And you got rid of the dandelions.
Yeah.
But we only put it on our front yard thinking we were being good people because we have a puppy dog and she uses the backyard. But then we started thinking we're probably not helping dogs that are walking along our, you know, and using our yard for their bathroom.
Yeah.
they probably rubs off on them. So we quit using it entirely. Now, I must say that my neighbors across the street and next to me have a lot prettier lawns than I do.
Yeah.
But my lawns are green and I keep them short. So, you know, I have a lot of clover this year, though. Holy cow. And that's bringing bees into the yard.
That's
which
great.
Is great. Yeah. But we try to avoid all that bad stuff.
That's good.
But I, and in my gardens, one of the reasons why I'm a terrible gardener is because I won't use those fertilizers.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people, I remember I used to get lots of big fat tomatoes, but I used that very, I'm sure, toxic stuff.
Like Miracle-Gro.
Yes, Miracle-Gro, yeah. Now, the only thing I'll use is if it says it's organic.
Yeah.
So now you've scared me. I've got to go look to make sure it's truly organic.
Yeah.
Now, the stuff I've been putting on this year hasn't done a bit of good, but it sure smells organic. It doesn't smell chemically.
Yeah. But I would recommend if you're wanting to put in any type of fertilizer, manure of some sort. Now, I know living in town, that can get...
Where do you get it, though?
Now, I think Lowe's does sell it in bags.
Yeah, you can buy bags of sterilized manure.
Yeah, you can do that. And then, like you were mentioning earlier, if you had a friend or a relative or who lives on a farm, if you were to spread that along.
Yeah, horse or cow manure is fine, I guess.
But don't do it in very large amounts, because even then the chemicals from that manure can, like we've talked about earlier, it can cause that same runoff effect.
Yeah. Now, the lady that on our block that has all these sunflowers, she has a truckload of manure brought in from a farm.
Okay.
Now, it's obviously been not sterilized, but it's obviously been left out and doesn't smell very much anymore.
Aerated.
And she'll dump that on there, but she dumps it on in mid-winter.
Yeah.
And then they
Till it in. Yeah.
And boy, I tell you, she has some of the most beautiful sunflowers, and she has lots of beautiful flowers that grow there.
And yeah, that's a good proper way.
I might go over there and with my wheelbarrow and steal.
there you go.
All right. Well, we didn't quite finish, I guess, with the bats either. Now,
yeah.
Now, it's kind of a trending thing. I don't even know what the word trending means. But anyway, it's kind of a trending thing that people in the suburbs down around Columbus are putting up bat houses.
Yeah.
And now, my son had a bat house, but he's moved. I didn't notice that there were less mosquitoes, but I also didn't notice mosquitoes. So are there less mosquitoes nowadays than there used to be? Now, in my backyard... This year, I've noticed I have more mosquitoes.
I think it depends on the region, because I've heard of some people saying that's been fine, and I've had other regions people saying it's just awful. It's just awful.
Well, that's what I've been thinking. It's not awful.
Now this year, I have noticed it's not as much, because I think our lack of rainfall, I think, has helped. And the problem is when we get those summers where it rains a lot.
And it ponds.
It ponds. Over, what was it? Last summer? The summer? Oh, yeah, it was last summer where it just constantly rained in the month of June. Sure, it did deter the mosquitoes, but once the rain was done, there was all these little puddles and all these little ponds, and next thing you know, mosquitoes only need a less than an inch of water, and they can lay their eggs there.
And they love it. Yeah.
And so I think I noticed, especially last summer, there was just this big, big boom.
When I was younger, I went to this summer camp, Battleground in Indiana, and Battleground is where the prophet sat on a high ledge and told the Native Americans that the white man's bullets were going to turn to dust, which they didn't, by the way, and they got massacred. He was there with Pocahontas. Not Pocahontas.
Sacagawea.
No, the famous male Indian was there. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. One year there were, and they had a big swimming pool. And this Battleground is a religious summer camp. It put in a bunch of trees, and it's the old little wooden cabins, and not a whole lot of protection from mosquitoes. One week that I was there, I ended up with 98 mosquito bites.
Did you really?
I got so many that people were counting them for me.
Oh, wow.
And being a the type of person that I am, I loved having the girls count the mosquito bites. But anyway, I have not seen a year like that ever since then. But I'm sure that we're probably killing them with some sort of
man-made chemicals.
But there's, you know, good news and bad news, I guess, on all of that. You really don't want Nile virus going around.
No.
And
we were talking about earlier that, you know, back in the early, mid-2000s, you know, there was a little breakout of West Nile.
Yeah.
And in Ohio. And a lot of people don't realize owls, screech owls especially, they were impacted. Their population decreased for a little bit.
Which, that shocked me that but I suppose, you know, how do they get through all those feathers to bite them?
It's kind of like our hair. They just burrow in, and they just got that long little needle-like mouth and just pop them. Yeah.
Now, is there a special type of mosquito we need to be careful of, or can all mosquitoes carry Nile virus?
That's a good question.
Okay, we'll have to ask a doctor. Yeah.
I would say most mosquito species, I think, yeah.
Can carry it, yeah. Maybe? Yeah. All right, well, let's hope they don't carry malaria.
Yes.
We're coming up on another break here, but we're here, and if you'd like to talk to James Anderson, the naturalist for Marion County, give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, and you're listening to On the Air here at WWGH. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. And I'm Glenn Coble.
107.1.
Yeah, 107.1. See, what I need to do is have James here more often so I don't fumble my way through these shows. I had an interesting show yesterday on this time frame. We laughed so hard. I got a sore stomach from laughing, and I was worried about it last night when I was sleeping. My tummy muscles were all tired, but we had a good show. I'm sorry, I digress. I was trying to kill time. No. Hey, if you have questions that you want to ask us, James is going to be on every last Thursday of the month. He will not be on his birthday like was last Thursday. You can write us if you want to. Send a question. I'll save it and we'll ask James. WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Let me give you that one more time. Also, if you want to do Swap Shop and tell us stuff, you can send to this address, WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. What would you suggest people do during the coronavirus to get out in nature? Are there things other than, we can walk the trail, and that's a good thing.
And then there's biking.
Oh, biking.
Yep.
Now, do you have problems with people biking on the trail not giving way or anything?
We noticed that in March and April, because what we were getting reports of was when, especially March and April, when everything was shut down and there was really nothing to do, people were coming out, and that was great. But what we were getting complaints was the regulars and then these newbie people. And I'm glad we got new people, but the new people didn't have a lot of trail etiquette.
Yeah.
And so they would be in the middle of the trail, they wanted, or if they were bicycling, they weren't, say, hey, I'm passing your left. You know, that those kinds of simple things. And we were just hearing a lot of complaints about that.
Well, now, if you're a pedestrian, I assume you should try to stay to the right side.
Yes. Correct? Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that the bikes can go by. Now, should you tell? I'm always afraid when I'm riding a bike and I'm coming up to somebody that I'm going to frighten
them. Scott, you know, there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back on the air. I can't figure out which one of my ear things I'm supposed to use. I was just telling James about in Indiana, they have put up on Route 30, I think it's Route 30, It's either Route 30. No, it might be the interstate that goes through the north part of Indiana. 90, is it? Or 80? Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. They've put up flashing yellow lights if there are any deer in the area.
That's
which I think is a neat idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. I assume it's some sort of trap that a deer
sensor,
walks
maybe.
By and it senses that there is a large animal there.
Huh. I wonder if Ohio would ever do that.
I don't know. I'm sure it's pretty expensive.
Probably.
And have you seen, has any state around us put in animal paths go under trails?
Athens.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is it?
The bypass.
Oh, there are ways that animals
yes.
can go under the bypass?
There's a big one, and there's a rattlesnake one.
A rattlesnake.
Yeah,
what I want to do.
Yeah, because you know when they built that bypass, you know they were basically dividing that forest up, and they were going to notice that if they didn't do that, it was going to cause a lot of inbreeding, and with a lot of the timber rattlesnake population, and then you know that would really cause a really bad problem.
Oh so, yeah, boy, you don't want inbred timber rattlers. I don't want timber rattlers. Period.
So they've made some underground paths, but right there when you're getting off Nelsonville, on the Nelsonville exit, there's a big one.
Okay,
right there. So
I'm gonna
pay attention next time.
Now, where is the rattlesnake bypass? Do you know?
That I don't know.
Okay,
I had a.
I'm going to avoid that
a professor who told me that when they built that bypass, they relocated was like 13, 15 timber rattlesnakes.
Oh, huh. So what you don't want to do if you're in Athens, don't stick your hand in a little hole that goes underneath a highway.
That's right.
Because it might be full of rattlesnakes.
That's right. When I was at Hocking College, when I took summer courses, they had signs out that said, you know, keep cautious of copperheads and to wear shoes, not sandals.
I'll be darned.
And there was one by the dorms. There was a copperhead on one of the rocks. So it didn't bite anybody, but there was report of one.
They're pretty poisonous from what I understand. Understand.
They can be venomous, and I mean, depending on the person. I've had people that have gotten bitten before, and they said they feel like dying, but and a burning sensation. But if you had someone that didn't have a good immune system, then it would probably most likely kill the person.
My wife and I were traveling out to California, and I don't know which time, but we stopped on the way back. We were coming back at a, I think it was New Mexico, at a rest stop to use the little girl's room, and it was beautiful. The rest area was absolutely beautiful. Now the problem, if you're going out west and you have to go to the bathroom, you better do it when you see the bathroom, because there are only about six in the entire southwestern United States.
Wow.
But as a matter of fact, it's so bad that we now carry a bucket in our car.
It's like, that's a good plan.
And it has a little, well, never mind. I won't go into that. As we got out and got ready to walk into the rest area, there's a sign on the left side in this gorgeous, you know, decorative grass and yucca plants. It's just gorgeous. And there's this little sign right there. Don't come in here. There are rattlesnakes in there.
Oh, yeah.
I have a picture of that, and I love that picture.
Kildare Plains Wildlife Area. There's signs about saying wearing steel-toe boots for the eastern Masaga.
Really?
Or the pygmy rattlesnake.
So they'll bite through a regular toed boot?
It depends. If it's like a very thin shoe, probably yes. But if you had probably a normal-sized boot, it would, or a regular style, it would most likely not. But I mean, if it bit hard enough, it could. But the steel toe, it couldn't do that.
Now, are the Masaga a big snake?
No.
I thought they were small.
Yeah. Like I said, the other nickname for Masaga is pygmy rattlesnake. So they're about the size of a garter snake. So they can get about 2 feet long.
Well,
two, 3 feet long.
I'm afraid of garter snakes, so I have no problem with that. I'm going to pick up a Masaga.
And there are some reports in Marion County. Mainly the northern portion of the county, by Morrill.
How deadly are they? Or are they deadly at all?
Kind of like copperheads, you know. Okay. I mean, they can be dangerous to some people and not others.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, that just made... I'm glad my... I don't think my wife is listening. Otherwise, we'd never go back out on the tall grass trail.
Well, no, what, not tall grass trail, okay, but it was killdeer.
Okay.
Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area.
All right, well, we're not going there.
So a slither of that wildlife area is in Marion County, but the most of it is in Wyandotte County.
Okay.
Right. And that's where the most of the Moosacos are found in the state of Ohio.
That's interesting. Killdeer
Plains. It's because it's a very prairie, swampy area, and that's a proper habitat for Moosacos and also poison sumac. So.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very good habitat.
I remember when I was a Boy Scout, we had a lot of poison sumac in northern Indiana.
Okay.
In prairie lands. And,
yeah.
Now, that was kind of interesting. When I was a Boy Scout, we would canoe down the Kankakee.
Okay.
And there was lots of interesting things along the Kankakee, including a lot of marijuana down there.
I bet.
But there were, when you're out in that canoeing along something like that. Now, my scoutmaster, he was fired, by the way, by my father, who was the minister of the church that had the scout. He was fired because he did some crazy things, one of which was he would take dynamite with us.
Oh,
and
my.
If there was a log jam on the Kankakee, he'd blow it up.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't tell you a few of the other things that he did. But
that was exciting as a kid.
Oh, it was exciting. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the one thing that really got him fired. He used to shoot cans off our heads with a .22.
Oh,
and yeah, that got him fired. I went home and I said, "Hey, Dad, guess what? I won't mention his name, but the scoutmaster shot a can off my head." Dad's eyes got real big.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last time that the scoutmaster was with us. Anyway, what are there? Are there things that you should do for safety's sake when you're going to some of our... areas like tallgrass trail?
So if you're really going to go out deep exploring, like in Big Island or Killdeer Plains, I highly recommend boots, jeans, because, you know, with wearing jeans, I'll definitely help protect you against ticks. Also, help protect you against some of our lovely plants like wood nettle or stinging nettle.
Yikes.
When they, you know, brush against your leg, you know, you don't want to get itchy. You know, a lot of poison ivy in those kinds of parks.
Yeah.
You know, like at Tallgrass Trail, since it is just a bike trail going through and, you know, everything's kind of off to the side, I mean, you can wear shorts.
Yeah.
We recommend you wear shoes, but, I mean, you can wear flip-flops, but we've had people break flip-flops, and so.
Yeah. Now, you wouldn't want to go around the lake, I would think. Well,
yeah,
It's not paved, but it does have stone.
Yeah, yeah, fine gravel. Crushed stone.
Oh, the only danger is those stupid eagles that sit there and look at you and give you a nasty look.
The eagle eye, right?
Yeah. There, when you and I walked, there was an eagle that sat in that tree. That's a memory I will have till I pass away.
I forgot all about
that. We walked, and I thought, well, surely it's going to fly away. And we got closer and closer, and it just sat there and looked at us.
I've noticed that some of the eagles, I think they're getting used to people.
It must be. And this one, I think you said it was a juvenile because it didn't have a white head.
Probably, yeah. We got a lot of juveniles.
So it didn't know what it was doing. It was just sitting there. Now, do we have any webcams at any of our places?
No, unfortunately, we do not.
They're probably expensive to put
They are.
Right? Now, anybody that's out there listening that has a few thousand dollars that they have nothing better to do with, I'd like to see a webcam out there. That would be around the lake there, or so you could watch the beavers and you could watch the eagles and you could watch the people fishing. And
yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I think
cool.
It would be a neat place to have a webcam.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I don't have a few thousand dollars, so you can't count on me. What would you like to tell our listeners about? Well, we don't have things upcoming,
but
do you have any other any things that are on your website that you'd like people to go and join?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I could talk about our outdoor preschool program, our Kiddos at the Park preschool program. So because of everything, we had to do a virtual version of this year, but it's been going pretty well. Every Friday, we pick a different theme. And we do it at 10 o'clock, and we do it on our Marion Tallgrass Trail Facebook
Live. I wondered why you asked about themes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
So tomorrow we're going to talk about caterpillars.
Okay.
And then last week we talked about frogs. So
I'm afraid of both of them, so that's good.
And then I think we're probably going to end probably the second Friday of August. We started in June, I think the second Friday in June. But yeah, every Friday we did a theme. And then what we did is underneath that shelter house at the trailhead.
Underneath
we,
it?
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. We did the program on the Facebook Live. Uh-huh. But what's underneath the shelter house is we have a crate that has an activity packet. It's got crafts, it's got certain games and activities, and it's geared for young ones, for toddlers, for about 3 to 5 years old, so ones uh-huh. that are still learning colors, numbers, shapes, you know, that good jazz. That's our overall audience that, you know,
they don't have to crawl underneath the shelter house, though, right?
No.
When you say under the shelter house,
at
the foot of the shelter house?
Yes, yeah. It's under the roof of the shelter house that has the picnic tables and kids can pick it up or parents can pick it up. I'll admit that heat wave kind of push people from picking up the packets, but I think we've got some more bites and of people participating. But if you if your child participates, makes the craft or does any of the coloring or the activity sheets, send it to our Marion Tallgrass Trail Facebook page. We want to share it with everybody.
Post it on so people can see it.
Yeah,
that would be a cool thing for moms to enjoy with their children and have something to do. I would imagine you get pretty tired of having your kid play some sort of game on computers all the time.
Yeah.
Give them something to think about.
That's right. Yeah, last year we did, it was very successful. We had about an average of 30 kids.
Now this year it's down a little bit?
Yeah. Well, it's all virtual now, so.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
I'm hoping next year, if everything calms down, we can be back in person. I'm not a fan of this whole virtual thing, but it's just what we have to do now to keep everybody safe.
So. Yeah, and that's more important than what you like.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I hope that kids get... Now, are you getting 4 or 5 of them, or do you know how many are tuning in?
So when it's tuning in, it ranges from about 10 to 15.
Oh, so that's a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, and then for the activity sheets, for probably the first 2 weeks... We made 20 packets. We had all 20 that were gone that people took.
Tell us again where they go out to the trail.
Right at the trailhead at the shelter house.
Yeah.
And they walk underneath the shelter house. There's a little blue crate that has a gallon baggie, and it's got the craft, and it's got the activities, and you just pick up the bag, and then you take it home.
And moms can do that?
Grandmas. Yep. And they're very simple crafts, so they're...
Yeah, so that moms might be able to figure them out.
Yes, that's right. I'm no Martha Stewart. See, I'm not very crafty.
Well, that sounds really neat. We need to keep our kids thinking, even though it has to be virtual as opposed to honest and factual. We need to keep our kids thinking, and we're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be back in about 2 minutes, okay?
Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back here with James Anderson, the naturalist from Marion County, and I'm Glenn Coble. We're on the air here, and that's the name of the program. But we are on the air as well. We were talking while we were off the air, something that's quite interesting. Where did you say bats sweat?
Their noses, only their
noses.
Only
their noses?
Yep.
I wonder why nature has decided to tell them to sweat on their nose.
That's a good question. And cats and dogs, it's only their paw regions.
That's amazing.
And that's why, like dogs, you see them panting because it helps them really cool down.
My father-in-law, who was a physician, said, that's, you know, we'd worry, you know, would you look at the dog? Something's wrong with the dog. He said, no, the air conditioner's just going when they were panting.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, are there other, well, let me tell you my little sweat thing.
All right.
Whenever I eat hot food, you know, spicy food.
Yeah.
The right side of my body sweats. The really? Left side does not.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Interesting. Do you overheat then?
No, it's just that's my reaction to spicy food.
I've never heard of that.
I looked it up once, and I think I'm 1% of 5% in the United States.
Well, you're special.
I'm special, yeah. Well, I am truly special.
Then Clovo is special.
Well, I'm sorry. That made me chuckle. We were talking about something. Oh, you said pigs don't have very.
Yeah, their sweat glands are very small, so that's why you probably heard of the. It's kind of funny, like the owies, you know, you sweat like a pig. Well, pigs really don't sweat, so that's why they overheat very quickly, and that's why they're always covered in mud. So it's basically
that keeps them cool.
Sunscreen.
I'll be darned. That's kind of neat. Now, you know one thing that always bothers me, and it did that when we were down in Athens. I went to the fair in Athens quite often.
That's a beautiful flair.
Yeah, it is. And I would go there because I was, at times, I would help with the radio station broadcast stuff down there. Also here, but Athens, I remember it more than here. So often, those animals are stuck in little tiny cages in really hot conditions.
Yeah.
And I've seen some animals that have passed because of that.
Yeah, now, I have too. Yeah.
Why do we not think about that when we have a fair? I know that recently I've noticed a lot of fans at the fair.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the reason. But
yeah, I used to show rabbits a lot all over Ohio and at the Ohio State Fair. And there'd be, like, usually young kids or first-timers that would be holding their rabbits before they went to the show. And, you know, Ohio State Fair, that's in August, so we've had some hot...
Pretty hot.
Yeah, hot days, and there were kids, literally, I mean, the rabbit died in their hand right before they went to the show.
And sad.
And so they made a rule that, you know, keep your rabbit in the cage before it goes on the table to show.
Yeah, yeah. Get a little air going around them, right?
Yeah, it was sad.
It's terrific, though. I loved when I was working at the local credit union, I was the guy in charge of going and buying critters.
Oh, yeah?
And we never had them butchered. I think maybe in the 12 years I was there, maybe we did a turkey one time. But we always just gave them back to the kids, and the kids loved it when you gave it back to them, because, you know, they get attached. I don't care what anybody says, they get a little bit of attached.
Oh, they do. They do.
And so, but I loved going there. The thing I liked about the farm kids, and they aren't all farm kids, some of them were, you know, city kids that just liked to take care of dogs or like to take care of rabbits or something like that. I guess you can't take care of certain animals within the city limits.
Yeah.
But the kids have such a good attitude.
Yeah.
The Future Farmers of America.
Yeah, FFA.
And they have a great attitude, and most of them are in pretty good shape because they have to work to take care of their critters. Now, I'm not sure if I've ever told you the story about me buying a feeder calf, have I?
No.
Okay, I was the first year I was here. I'm a city boy out of Chicago, not a country boy. Well, my boss said, why don't you go and buy a critter? At the fair, at the sale of champions, and she said, if you can get a champion for $400 or $500, that would be good.
Yeah.
And so I went there, and I couldn't find anything. Everything was selling really high.
Oh, yeah.
But a feeder calf came up, and it started at $300. And I said, well, I'll do three. Sure. and it went up to 350. Okay, I went up to 475, and I won. And the lady behind me tapped me on the shoulder. She said, "Did you realize that that was 475 per pound?"
Oh, yeah.
And this feeder calf, I don't know what it weighed, maybe 1,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't quite 1,000 because I ended up paying, after getting the money back after giving the animal back to the lady, I think our bill was $2,600.
Oh, I bet.
And that held the record for the most paid for a feeder calf until about 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
It lasted 10 years, I think, as wow. the highest paid amount on a feeder calf. Now, they've broken it since then. But the word to the wise is, if you don't know what you're doing, don't do it. I did get a lot smarter as we went along.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah. And we got a lot of publicity out of that.
Oh, I bet.
Every year, one of the radio stations would say, "Tell us that story again," and I could usually wind it up pretty good.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I also had a little guy came up to me. He wanted to get rid of it, or I won his ducks, and he wanted to know what I was going to do with his ducks. And I said, "Well, why don't you just take them home and put them back out on your pond?" And he went from crying to the happiest boy in the world.
That's sweet.
So we had a good time. Yeah. I loved going out there. And the kids. Now, you raised rabbits, huh?
Yeah, I did rabbits, cows, sheep. Yeah.
Oh, you raised the big ones.
Yes, yeah. I did 4-H and FFA.
How do you... Well, that's a lot of work, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah. How many hours a day did you have to put in on a cow?
On a cow, several hours.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah.
So, I mean, you had to wash them. I mean, you had to
train. Did you do that every day?
Just about every day.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we had to wash them, feed them. I mean, and I mean, get them ready to for showing. So, you know, breaking them, you know, for halter and leading.
Oh.
So, I mean, it was a lot of training. So,
how do you keep them from... Well, I guess you don't keep them from doing their business.
No,
I've seen them do their business right in front of me.
Yeah, you can't. The nature's calling.
Yeah. Yeah. They used to say that Roy Rogers had his animal stopped up. Let's put it that way. I'm not sure that really happened. That might have been an old wives' tale. But so... do you use like a shampoo on them? And
yep, we use shampoo sometimes.
Conditioner?
Sometimes humans, but a lot of ones were specifically for cows, so because you know their hair is a little bit different from ours.
Yeah. Now, when you sold an animal, what do you do with that money? Do you
buy them for the next year's project?
Is that right? Yeah.
But then for my senior year, it went to college.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And you went to Hocking College, and then you went to Rio Grande.
Yeah.
Now, Rio Grande is where Bob Evans is from.
That's right. Yeah. Yep, the big town.
His, I don't think it was his daughter. It was his niece that played basketball for us at Ohio University.
Okay.
Linda Evans, a beautiful girl and a very good basketball player.
So okay.
We had got to know her quite. And I have a few tales about Linda, but I really don't want to tell them on the air. They were kind of private. Nothing bad.
I'll tell you a fun story about Bob Evans. I never met him because I think he died before I was born.
He died. Yeah.
But one of my college professors knew of him. And he was fans of wild turkey, and I mean that was his favorite animal.
And not the booze.
Not the booze. But every year the ODNR they'll have what's called an open house, and they'll pronounce you know what are the new management, some of their new things that they're doing, and what, and then they open the floor to whatever you know suggestions and comments. Well, my professor said that Bob Evans almost every year would always tell the Ohio Department of Natural Resources ODNR. That they should just quit managing every other animal and just focus on wild turkey.
he really liked wild turkey.
He loved hunting wild turkey. And that's great and everything, but if you think about it, not all animals are fond of turkey habitat. They, you know, don't like woods.
Yeah.
So if ODNR would have listened to Bob Evans, or like Big Island Wildlife Area would be a primary forested area, wouldn't it be a prairie wetland area.
We need prairie rutlands.
And yeah, because there's other animals that depend on those habitats and are not fan of foresty areas.
Yeah.
But again, Bob Evans, he was just all like, I want wild turkeys. Let's focus on turkeys.
Well, down in southern Ohio where he was from, there probably were a lot of wild turkeys.
Yeah, but he wanted more. And he wanted the whole state to just be basically a wild turkey state.
Wild turkey sanctuary, yeah, Ohio. Yeah,
basically, but that never happened. So,
well, I got a tale about Orville Redenbacher. He was he went to my dad's church, and his right hand man. Actually, they were co-owners, Mr. Bowman, and I can't remember his first name. I should. I can see his face. I dated his daughter, but anyway, Mr. Bowman was very. He was very into the creating of the popcorn that actually had less of those little husks on it and stuff like that.
The kernel.
And he and Orville was mainly the face of Orville Redenbacher popcorn. And Mr. Bowman was kind of the brains behind it. So I got to know him fairly well. But both of those guys were pretty adamant about natural resources and keeping pesticides out.
That's
of
good.
Area. Yeah.
That's good.
Now I don't know that they didn't use some sort of chemical on their on their corn, but it is different. I don't know if you've ever had it, but it's a different type.
Did you get free popcorn when you dated his daughter?
No, but I did get to go to their house and watch the Beatles on. Ed Sullivan Show, the very first time they were in the United States.
Oh, boy.
And Judy and I sat and watched it. Well, actually, there were a whole bunch of us kids that watched the Beatles, which ruined my life as a folk singer, since folk music pretty much died after the Beatles came to the United States. Oh, well. Well, we've had a good day today, and I want to thank James for being on today. He'll be on the last Thursday of next month. And he doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be.
That's right.
we thank him for being here on, what is the name of the show, James?
Oh, On the Air.
On the Air. Thanks. And he told us a lot of stuff that we can go pretend like we're smart with all of our friends. I've got about 1 minute left to go. Do you have anything you want? Oh, tell us again how people can help out if they want to help on the trail.
Yeah, so picking up trash. We have maintenance rut, so you can contact us on the Marion Tall Grass Trail Facebook page or call our office, 740-223-4161.
Okay. Excellent. And I'm sure they will take any help they can get.
Oh, yes. We really depend on volunteers.
Free help is good.
That's right.
And we will be back. We'll be back in about a month. And hopefully things will start to clear up so that maybe we can get those kids back out and not have a virtual show, but have a live show with the kids with you.
We're open.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Coble. You've been listening to On the Air, and we will have Swap Shop coming up next, and I hope you have something to sell. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. It could be they got to quit using words like mistake and error and start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their their credibility and help themselves a lot, but they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake, and that's dumb. It is dumb.
Legendary actor from Barney Miller, Abe Vigoda.
I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm so grateful to God.
And from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. McFeely.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's Delivery brings it to you here with speed. Yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy delivery. Speedy delivery to you, Scott.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead.
This is Marianne Michaels, and you are listening to WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, and clicking like for exclusive content.
Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website williamsgrasscutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
That's an Earl Fitzamerican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050. It's now time for the obituary report on WWGH Radio.
William R. Hamby, age 73, of Marion, passed away on Sunday, July 26th at Marion General Hospital. He is survived by his wife, children, grandsons, siblings, nieces, nephews, and other relatives. Visitation will be on Thursday, July 30th from 12 to 4 in the afternoon at the Edwards Funeral Service, 318 Mount Vernon Avenue. Funeral service will immediately follow at 4 p.m. for William R. Hamby of Marion. Drew Franklin Gannon, age 40, passed away on Sunday, July 26th. He is survived by his wife, children, brothers, and sisters. Visitation will be on Saturday, August 1st, at the Edwards Funeral Service, 318 Mount Vernon Avenue, from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, with the service to start at 4 p.m. for Drew Franklin Gannon. Betty Jane Rogerson, maiden name Sullivan, age 96, of Marion, passed away on Monday, July 27th at the Kingston residence of Marion. She is survived by her nieces, a great-niece, and great-nephews. Graveside services will be held at St. Mary's Cemetery. The date and time will be announced. You may leave an online condolence at SniderFuneralHomes.com for Betty Jane Rogerson of Marion. Dale E. Weaver, age 40, of Marion, passed away at his home on Tuesday, July 21st. He is survived by his two daughters, a brother, a sister, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends. There will be no services at this time. You may leave an online condolence at CremationServicesOfOhio.com for Dale E. Weaver of Marion. Willie E. Borders, age 70, of Marion, passed away on Sunday, July 26th at the Marion General Hospital. He is survived by his wife, son, brother, and sisters. A funeral service will be held at the Boyd Bourne Funeral Home at a time and date to be announced, with burial to follow at the Augusta Cemetery. You may leave an online condolence at BoydBourneFuneralHome.com for Willie E. Borders of Marion. Alice Ann Valance, age 78, passed away on Friday, July 24th at the Community Health Center. She is survived by her sisters and brothers, nieces, and nephews. Graveside services will be held on Saturday, August 22nd at 11 in the morning at the LaRue Cemetery. Following the graveside services, a celebration of life will be held at the Kenton Alliance Church, 15436 State Route 309 East in Kenton. Edwards Funeral Service is handling arrangements for Alice Ann Valance. Richard Greer, age 71, of Gahanna, formerly of Marion, passed away Monday, July 27th. He is survived by his son's granddaughter, brother, and his companion, Trina, as well as her son, Jared. Services will be held privately by his family. Friends who would like to attend may do so by calling the Denzer Chapel of the Snyder Funeral Home. You may leave an online condolence at SniderFuneralHomes.com for Richard Greer of Gahanna, formerly of Marion. Vernon Ellis Worcester, friends and family called him Butch, age 73, of Caledonia, passed away at his home on July 26th. He is survived by his sons, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and his sister. A graveside service will be held on Monday, August 3rd at 2 p.m. in Caledonia Cemetery. The Timpson and Melroy Funeral Home is handling arrangements for Vernon Ellis Worcester of Caledonia. Kenneth E. Nicely, also known as the Button Man, age 59, of Marion, passed away at Marion General Hospital on July 23rd. He is survived by his sister. A memorial service will be held Thursday, August 6th at 6 p.m. at the Timpson and Melroy Funeral Home, with Rob Howard officiating, in Caledonia, for Kenneth E. Nicely of Marion. Kathleen C. Overfield, age 82, of Marysville, passed away at a residence on July 25th. She is survived by her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, her sisters, and her brothers. Affordable Cremation and Funeral Services of Ohio in Marion is handling arrangements for Kathleen C. Overfield of Marysville.
You have been listening to the Obituary Report on WWGH Radio, heard daily at 8:10 a.m., 10:10 a.m., 12:10 p.m., and 4:10 p.m.
Hi, this is Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice. In conjunction with WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, we're reminding you that during the COVID-19 pandemic, that it is best to keep your distance 6 feet apart from each other at all times. Wash your hands with soap and warm water as often as possible, and stop buying all the toilet paper. Remember, we are all in this together. It's time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Live from the WWGH Newsroom, I'm the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. If you were eagerly awaiting August scrimmages for your football or soccer teams in Ohio, your wait just got longer.
The Ohio High School Athletic Association announced the suspension of fall sports scrimmages in contact sports for 2020 in a communication sent to athletic directors and administrators Tuesday evening. The announcement was distributed by Interim Executive Director Bob Goldring. The fall contact sports are football, soccer, field hockey, and cross country. We do not anticipate that suspension changing soon, and there remains the possibility that no scrimmages will be permitted in the contact sports of football, soccer, and field hockey, Goldring wrote. We will certainly keep you updated if that changes. Goldring also mentioned talks were ongoing trying to get field hockey and or cross country placed in the non-contact category, which would allow more opportunities. Previously, the OHSSA had released scrimmage options for all sports, pending Governor Mike DeWine clearing the way with a green light. As things stand now, only the non-contact sports of golf, tennis, and volleyball will be afforded scrimmages. Still, the OHSAA points to an August 1st start date. Lieutenant Governor John Husted is still scheduled to meet with the Ohio High School Football Coaches Association on August the 4th. Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler recently appeared on WWGH Radio and gave her thoughts on people still thinking that the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic is a hoax.
Yeah, that sentiment, that belief is there. I don't know why. Clearly, we have a COVID-19 problem in the United States. We have more than 100,000 people who have died. We're closing in on 150,000 people, I think. And so it's a significant issue. And beyond the people that have died, the people that have been hospitalized, you know, some of them are suffering damage that looks like it's going to be permanent on top of the medical bills they have from being in the hospital for months. So, you know, COVID-19 is real. Nobody's making up cases. People are going and getting tested, and they're coming back positive. Nobody's making that up. So, and I think it's going to be around long past the election. I think it's going to go into 2021. At least for a few months there, as we continue to wait for a vaccine.
For the Marion, Ohio Weather Team, I am Zach Fuller. This is your Weather Minute on WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion and online at WWGH1071.com. Thursday in the Marion area, we'll see a few isolated thunderstorms developing during the afternoon, a high near 83 degrees. Tonight, showers in the evening, then turning partly cloudy overnight, a low around 64 degrees. For your Friday, partly to mostly cloudy skies, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, but a high near 81 degrees. For your first day of August, partly cloudy skies early, then followed by increasing clouds with possible showers developing later in the day, a high near 81 degrees. And for your Sunday, mostly cloudy skies with a shower or a few thunderstorms, a high near 80 degrees. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at monntv.com. For the Marion, Ohio News Network, I'm Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1.